It is 5:30, and this is the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners meeting. It is Wednesday, October 27th, 2021. 5:30, I already said. This is our regular meeting held remotely under COVID-19 emergency rules. The public can call in at 509-473-0276 and enter 929-694-598-pound. So I will have Steve Wamsgans please do roll call. We'll call this meeting to order.
Hey, in alphabetical order, Commissioner Clary.
Present.
Commissioner Lehman.
Present.
Commissioner Lachine Seitz.
Present.
Commissioner Lindstrom.
Present.
And Commissioner Loring.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. We need to adopt our consent agenda at this time. I think that there's nothing really special here. And so I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 We'll move on to audience participation. That is a 15-minute limit total, and comments are maximum 3 minutes per person. Anyone calling in at this time can press star 6 to unmute.
Commissioner Lindstrom, we actually do not have any members of the public present.
Yeah, we're that exciting. Okay, great. I guess that's a good thing.
When I presented to the Board of Health, I think there were like 2 people present, if that makes you feel any better.
It doesn't. We have a levy.
Yeah, we do.
I thought that'd draw somebody.
I would agree. I would have hoped actually that members of the public, with as much, you know, letters and so forth and misinformation and people wanting correct information, I guess I'm surprised that there isn't at least one person that's chimed in for our meeting. But
well, you've done your job and you've put out lots of great information about long-term care, and we've done 6-year budgets and been incredibly transparent. Maybe that's all they need to hear. Let's hope so. So then moving on, if there's nothing to be said at this time, on to unfinished business. We have committee reports and discussions, and I'll just move through these and let me know which ones we need to touch on. Did the Community Collaboration Committee meet this past month?
It did. Yeah.
It was September.
But it's since the last board meeting. It was a couple days after the last board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 28th or something. It was after our last board meeting. I don't remember.
It was the end of September. I was going to say I should have attended, but I was still on vacation. So.
Yeah, you were. Okay. Yeah, I do. I was there, and that was a long time ago, but I do remember some things. And one was that Peace Island needs to do a community health needs assessment, and they don't have a choice about doing that at this time. And it's really kind of bad timing because healthcare, it's been so difficult. There's been so much going on. So the health department also needs to do one, but they're kind of going to put it off because they're realizing it's really a bad time to assess how the community feels about them. There's just divisiveness, and you know, there's a lot going on. So they talked about that, and I think they were doing a wrap up of programs they've been funding. And I know we talked after the meeting, it occurred to me that because they're looking for funding to give out funding to good projects that relate to their goals. And after the meeting, I did talk to Rachel about potentially funding paramedicine, because what a great program that helps with the, you know, as a liaison between Peace Health and the community, and that it kind of fits within their purview. And so she was going to talk to Jack about it. Jack was going to talk to Nathan, and I think he since has had a meeting. So I'm kind of excited about that. And that's what I remember about that meeting.
Yeah, the community health needs assessment is something that they're required to do by law, I believe, since they take taxpayer dollars for funding. So
And now they can't wobble on the time. They have a really strong, you know, pretty clear requirement. So they're trying to put together. They have had small group meetings now. I was part of one of them for seniors about needs, potential needs that we have that are new that have popped up and ones that we've addressed. So they're really reaching out to the health department and to different facets of the community to ask about housing needs and nutrition needs and mental health needs, behavioral health needs is their focus, I think.
Great. And I do think that Nathan and Jack did have a discussion about connecting PIMC and community paramedicine, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
Nothing really definitive at this time. Okay, thank you, Gail. And then the EMS Trauma Care Council, anything on that?
No, I think that meeting was right before our last meeting, and I think we reported out about that, trainings and whatnot, but there hasn't been another one. There's supposed to be the bigger one, the regional one is supposed to be happening in a couple weeks, or maybe next week.
Okay.
So I think we have some grants we have to get in and stuff for that, but I think it's happening. The trainings are being planned and whatnot, so I've seen some things about that. Any comments about that, Nathan? About trauma care?
About which thing? About the community paramedicine and Peace Health, or about the
Trauma Care Council regional thing?
The EMS, yeah. I don't have a lot to say about either, really. The last EMS and Trauma Care Council, it was almost all spent talking about training, trying to get new help, and we're well underway on those efforts. It's summer's really too busy time to do those sorts of things, and so we do have a non-medically trained driver class and new marine auxiliary program we're putting together. We've got 5 or 6 people interested, and got an EMT class coming up in January. That's basically what everybody's interested in the EMS and Trauma Care Council. Now the community paramedicine, I don't have anything to report on that yet, but Jack and I have been talking, and it does seem promising.
Great.
Thank you.
I ask, is somebody frying bacon? I'm getting a sound that sounds like frying bacon.
Pretty staticky. So, I agree.
If everybody isn't talking, maybe should mute themselves.
Hang on. I'll do it. I'll mute the.
There we go. Oh, much better. Okay. Kyle, is there anything on the CID?
I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
Nathan, you reached out, right? Have you heard anything?
I did reach out, and at this point, we don't even heard back.
Okay.
So this process is taking a while, to be sure. It does not seem to be a very high priority with the state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say about that.
Yeah.
I don't want to look like we're begging. We've reached out a lot.
Yeah, I was trying to clear things up, but
yeah. Yeah, me too. Quick note on that. Maybe, I mean, obviously there are going to be some decisions made within the next week or so that could affect kind of where liabilities lie, or I guess they won't necessarily affect that, but they might affect where the money comes from to help pay for those. So that's just something to keep in mind as we move forward in time, and the state apparently is unwilling to resolve this. We talk about how we address that issue. For example, if integration does occur and we still have the liability as a hospital district, how do we reserve some funding for that when the amount is maybe not fully known?
Yeah,
it's not a negligible issue. We do keep whatever money we have from the EMS accounts in the event of integration. So whatever cash on hand.
Okay.
So it seems like it's likely sufficient, but given that we don't, I mean, while it's unlikely, it could really be any number. So it's not great. I agree with Commissioner Loring. But we will have the money from the EMS accounts if integration goes through, so.
Okay, that does sound, from what I understand at this point, to be sufficient.
Yeah.
But again, there is some uncertainty. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Everett, any comments on the financial committee?
Well, let's see, as we anticipated, this is the totals in the bank were at the low point for this year, since taxes have not come in yet, though that will we'll see them coming in next month. So this is a low point. But aside from that, all the revenues, expenses were as expected. Really, I think the major thing we noted was it was Sally Thompson's last meeting with us, and certainly appreciate what she's done for us. Sorry to be the last one. And Steve fixed some delightful tarts, and we had a few other goodies at the meeting, which was delightful, and met Sally's replacement, Hannah, and so looking forward to working with her. So everything was normal. Aside from that, I think Sally will be gone this coming Tuesday, as I understand, heading south of the border, and so we wish her well. And finances, it's, you know, smooth.
Yeah, congratulations to Sally, and thank you so much for all of your hard work, and welcome to Hannah. It's been a pleasure, though, having Sally, and I know she's been a huge support for Nathan, so I'm sure you're sad to see her go.
Yeah, Sally's been fantastic. We're very sad to see her go, and we wish her all the best.
Okay, thank you. Long-term care has been a very busy, active time, and this is an exciting time in this next week. Gail and Trish, do you have anything to add?
Well, I'm just very excited about our levy and in great hopes that it passes. And we spoke with Sir Optimus today, and that went really well. Lots and lots of good questions. And that was really gratifying. And also, people seemed really interested in clarifying, you know, any misinformation that's out there. And I thought it was a really excellent meeting, and we had almost a full hour. So
wow.
It was great. Yeah. So Evan was there, and Deanna Osborne, and myself. So yeah. I'm just hopeful that Tuesday brings positive results for us and our community.
I'm so impressed by what this board has accomplished since we did our strategic planning in the summer of 2020 and really decided, you know, what our goals were as a board and what we wanted to do for this community. And look where we are today, and the opportunity that landed in front of us, and the hard work that all of you have put in to make this happen. I'm very proud and very excited. So I hope it is well received by the public, because I believe it's in the public's best interest, and it'd be great to be able to take care of our community.
Indeed.
So thank you. And as far as community relations, you know, gosh, Trish, I think it's just a blur of people that you end up talking to about different things. I think there's been a lot of that this month, so I don't have anything specific really to report there myself.
The same. I mean, I've lots of people have reached out to me about issues on the ballot having to do with the hospital district. And, you know, I've made phone calls, and mostly when people email, I get their number and talk. And and always it's gone really well, you know, even with people who've had some serious concerns and good conversations.
Great. Thank you.
Nathan and I have been working the Facebook angle whenever somebody posts something. I find myself commenting. Then later on, Nathan even clarifies, and, you know, double team. And then other people usually join in too. So yeah, it's been great to have a conversation. It's been good conversations. People have been very respectful, and seems like people are pretty positive about the proposal.
Yeah.
I would have to say the same. done 3 Saturdays at Farmers Market, and those have gone well. You know, last week, well, it was pretty blustery and kind of crazy weather rolling in, but you know, we had 2 really solid, wonderful conversations, and one person who said, "Sell me on this. I don't understand." And before I was even done, they're like, "Sold." I think it's complicated. I think, you know, we're struggling against fractured media. We've got many online papers. We've got a, you know, a small, now our Journal of the San Juans is a pretty small paper, and it's not as widely read as other papers. And you've got Facebook. And so all this information is so fragmented, there's not a central place for it. And I think that creates an uphill battle for getting information out to folks. So, and I, all of us on the committee have written lots of letters to people. I did about 175, I think. Oh my God. And I've gotten a couple of really nice notes back from people thanking me for that. So, I'm very hopeful.
Well, thank you for all your hard work on this. I know that it's near and dear to your heart. I mean, we have 2 experts on our board that have, you know, Gail with her job and Trish with your whole career taking care of seniors. I am very hopeful that this is something that we get to do together. And Nathan, thanks for all your hard work on that too.
And just one little thing before we forget, talking about the Community Collaboration Committee, and what came up again today was the $15,000, Gail, I always forget the number of the grant that went to the EDC and Mickey Von Dessau for scholarships for the healthcare aid training. There's 7 people enrolled in that right now. And cool. Isn't that fantastic? So people can take that training and have a full scholarship for the course, the online course through Cornerstone Training at Robin Van Heining's program. And, you know, that money came from Peace Health. That came from Peace Health back into our community. So that's, to me, that's really exciting.
That's great.
Well, and potentially other islands as well. They opened it up. The EDC is open to any of, you know, Lopez or Orcas as well. So I don't know of those 7 who are from here, or if there's some from other islands as well.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Anything further here on committee report and discussion? No. And we get to move on to the marine response billing and policy. We did talk about this in our September board meeting, and it seems, I think we've had lots of time to mull this over and review legal advice. It seems that we should move forward on this. Now we, you know, it's clear that we have to make choices about marine response. Does anyone have, or Nathan, do you want to discuss this initially, or do people have questions?
Yeah, so I've not made any changes to this policy since last month. I think our policy was pretty ready to go, but we did kind of want to do some more work on evaluating the liabilities and risks and that kind of thing related to responding on the data islands calls. Staff have also had a chance to look at this policy. Not a whole lot of comment, probably because it basically reflects what we're doing on the ground right now. And we're entering the time of, you know, there's 2 times a year where you get lots of marine calls. One is when you've got inclement weather and you can't do airlift. And the other is, you know, summer when people are visiting various outer islands and breaking their legs or whatever else. So definitely good to have this policy in place. Do you think we should recognize that, you know, there's some risk involved with these kinds of calls? And if the board does need to decide if you're comfortable with providing service at all outside of our district, which we don't necessarily have to do. But I made an effort to talk to all of you, and we've distributed some legal advice, and we talked about it last meeting, and I do recommend that we go ahead and adopt this resolution and move forward. But I'm happy to take your guidance if you prefer to go a different direction. I'm also happy to answer any questions.
Nathan, I have a question about Orcas and Lopez. Do they have any marine response?
Lopez has no marine response. They are ardently against any kind of marine response. Orcas, I don't really blame them. It's not very convenient, but I don't really blame them. For one thing, there's no marine assets in range. I mean, that's the big thing, is where is the boat? It's not who's closest, it's who's closest to the boat. Mm-hmm. Orcas will respond on our island's calls some, and they did recently. Historically, they used to respond on more until their boat broke. But now that we're basically handling calls that are not in anybody's taxing district as basically a sheriff's response, the sheriff's department and dispatch is asking the other islands to participate a little bit more. So, but I think it's likely we're going to continue to be asked to contribute the bulk of personnel simply because the sheriff is here and the sentinel is here. Now, the Guardian is back in service, and it's on Orcas, and that was used on a response last week. So perhaps that'll change some.
Where does Orcas keep their boat?
Well, it's not theirs. It's the Sheriff's Department. I don't know where they keep it, though.
It's a big island, so I was just curious where it was dumped over there.
Yeah, and Orcas has so many different communities on it in a way that we don't hear. But I don't know the answer to that question.
So the gist that I got from this is essentially that we will go on out-of-district calls with the sheriff, at least EMS staff will go, if we've got double coverage, if we can make sure that a paramedic is on staff here on the island, that it's not a high risk to our staff. Am I correct?
For out of district responses, we're approaching it differently from in district. Mm-hmm. An in district response, we must respond with an appropriate level of staffing. Mm-hmm. If there is an ALS call on Stewart, I'm obligated to send a medic. It's not very convenient, but they are part of our taxing district, and we do make a little extra effort to make sure it truly is an ALS call that it merits sending a paramedic. For outside of our district, that's exactly correct. It's dependent on staffing, do we have enough people, and it's dependent on safety. And we're definitely much less prone to send a medic unless it's really, truly needed and we have enough people to do so. And unfortunately, sometimes that means someone gets a BLS response rather than an ALS response. They might benefit from having a paramedic, but they're not in our taxing district, and we can't justify sending the only medic available to help someone outside of our district. What if someone has a heart attack down the street? We just can't do it. It's too bad, but we have to deal with the resources we have.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from anyone? Quiet group. Okay.
What is our additional liability if we do respond? You mentioned there's more liability, and I didn't see the details of that.
Yeah, if we're responding out of district, we definitely have more liability. On the balance.
On the call we're responding to, you mean?
That's correct.
Or liability because we don't have enough staff where we are.
We have more liability because it's not in our district. It has to do with the public duty doctrine basically within our district, since we're obligated to respond, we get more protection than if we're responding out of our district. But we're still covered under qualified immunity, and as to some extent under discretionary immunity. On the balance, I believe we are reasonably well protected when we respond out of district. Qualified immunity remains a relatively robust defense, and we are not operating the sheriff's boat. And I think that we should avoid operating the boats. A lot of liability with boats. When we went out for our marine auxiliary in our mailer this fall, we did get a number of people willing to help, and many of them are captains who even offered to drive the boat. I think we should avoid that. We should connect them with the sheriff's department if they want to use those captains under their license, under their guidance, under their program, because the sheriff's department covers the whole county. If we respond out of our district and we are just taking care of patients, we're just patient care, we are not operating the boat or handling any of their liabilities related to that, I think we can safely rely on qualified immunity, and so do our attorneys.
The other question I have is, if integration happens, have you talked to the fire district about this policy? Will they accept this, or do you know?
I've talked with the fire district leadership about the marine response issues. I think it's likely in the event of integration that they will do what they're going to do.
Well, yeah. But you don't know whether they didn't say anything about this in particular.
Well, our legal advice from our legal counsel is attorney-client privileged. An evaluation of risk and liabilities and stuff is not something that you'd want to be released to the public. Basically a roadmap to how to sue the hospital district. So this is attorney-client privilege information that I would not release to another agency. And if requested under the Public Records Act, we would deny it under the exemptions for attorney-client privileged information. So, no, I have not gone over this with him. It's an issue they need to resolve for themselves if they have a marine program.
Okay, yeah.
But even if, in the case of integration, their responsibility is still to the Outer Islands because they are within district.
The fire district has the same boundaries we do.
Right.
I think it's likely they would need to adopt a policy similar to ours, but they do have boats which they operate. And if they can operate a program that has all of the training and certifications and such for a program of that nature, I wish them well. I mean, it's a great benefit to our community to have a marine response like that. I just don't feel at this time San Juan Island EMS is prepared to do something like that. And it is by far safest for us to just remain patient care providers and to be careful about the kinds of responses and missions we go on. We should not go if it's sick.
Okay. Any more questions? I would entertain a motion to move to adopt resolution 21-555 marine response and billing policy 2-012-21 Outer Islands and marine response.
I would move that we adopt this policy guide number 201221.
Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
That includes the resolution, right? Did I hear you say that?
Yeah, it was a little unclear. I'm assuming, Gail, you included resolution 21-555 response and billing.
I certainly did.
Okay, thank you. Is there any discussion on this? Okay, in that case, I'll call for a vote to approve. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. That passes unanimously. We now have a marine response billing policy and Outer Island marine response. Thank you very much.
Thank you, commissioners. It might take us a little bit to get the billing part of it to work, but we appreciate your willingness to let us run with this and to try to continue to serve the public.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Excuse me, I just dropped my notes. Let's see, the next item on our agenda is the 2022 budget process discussion. At this time, we don't quite know what our agency will look like within the next week. So we are going to postpone our budget hearing and our budget process for 2022 until our next meeting. We do need to give the public 2 weeks notice on this for our budget hearing. So we're anticipating for our next board meeting to, and at that point we'll know, you know, what we're budgeting for. Are we budgeting for long-term care or not? Are we budgeting for EMS or not? So these things are up to the voters and we're gonna wait until that time. Does anyone have any questions or comments on that? I didn't want
to. No, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah,
we have the budgets with different numbers.
Yeah, we can't do just like four different potential budgets. So it just seems like better to wait. So it might make a long meeting next time. So, okay. Let's see. We'll move on to. You know, Nathan, I'm sorry. Did I miss talking about our? Oh no, that's down here. I was just thinking scheduling was next on the agenda. Excuse me. So new business at this point, if there's nothing further there, we have an engagement letter for our next audit. So that is something that the state requires that we have to sign and get back to them. We do need to pass a motion to authorize, we need Nathan's signature and mine on this engagement letter. We just need to pass a motion to approve that you're all fine with Nathan and I signing this engagement letter. So
this will also set the board representation for the audit. So
you could. Did we just get audited recently?
We get audited constantly.
Okay, I was
all thinking. The time. It's a rotating thing all the time. So, yeah.
Sorry.
Public transparency. It's just, you know, public funds. So I would entertain a motion at this time to delegate Nathan Butler and myself to sign the engagement letter with the auditor.
I would make a motion for you two to... do that. Sign the engagement letter for the audit.
Thank you.
On the committee.
And I hear a second.
Second.
Is there any discussion? No. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Then we have policy 1-048, non-medically trained drivers. So we've had great response reaching out for volunteers to help drive ambulances, and that'll relieve some pressure on you know, our staff getting those rigs out the door when needed. I think everybody seems happy with this. Nathan has a good list of candidates, I believe. You've got a class in November. And so we just need to adopt this policy.
That's correct. Thank you. Yeah, we're excited about this program. It should immediately give us quite a bit more depth, about 30% more drivers within the agency. And then this January, we have to get the EMT class. By spring, we should be much more ready than we were over the summer, which is very exciting.
Cool. I think Nathan's even going to be able to drive a rig, so that's exciting. Because you're there. You're at the station. Great.
I'm here all the time. It would really help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So
really, in addition to everything else you do, now you're going to drive a rig. This is great.
I think multitasking. Well, the nice thing is, if the first out crew is out, right, they're on a call, then. You know, if we do get a second call, then I can drive, and our community paramedicine EMT, who is going to be on duty 10 hours a day, can come provide patient care. So we can actually staff an entire second ambulance with just staff 10 hours a day, most days of the week, plus all of our volunteers, plus all the other new drivers. It gives us a lot of really good depth, which we really need. It does mean a lot of new faces and a lot of training, and we need to be really diligent about that. But it's a really neat program. I think it'll help us.
Great. Do you need us to pass a motion to accept this policy, Nathan?
I do, yeah.
So I would entertain a motion to adopt policy 1-048, non-medically trained drivers.
I move to adopt policy 1-048. I think that's what it was.
Yes. Do I hear a second?
I second that.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's see. Oh, next on the agenda is transfer of ownership document for the Village at the Harbor. I have seen this document. It's 3 inches thick. It is incredible. So we would like the board at this time to approve the district submitting the license application for the transfer of ownership. This doesn't constitute the full transfer of ownership. It's just for the license. And if the ballot measure fails, we can easily withdraw it. However, there's a large backlog of applications, and so we're anxious to get it in sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I'd like to acknowledge Steve, who's done a fantastic job on this. He's put a lot of time in. I mean, we all have. I think I had to write like 6 letters and sign 10 different things. But Steve managed to keep track of every document. It's got something like 15 different appendixes, all these different things, and he's managed to keep all of it straight and to quarterback the whole thing and to get it done in a timely manner. We would be at around 1.5 inches by now without Steve. So see, he actually is the reason we're gonna be able to get this in 4 months in advance, which based on what they're telling us is very necessary here. So very much appreciated. And I know that if I had done it, it also probably wouldn't be quite as accurate or as complete. So I'm very grateful that Steve made this happen. So thank you all of you as well. I know that we had to have you come in and do background checks and fingerprinting and all kinds of things. And We actually got it done. So it's pretty exciting. I think Evan was pretty relieved too.
Good.
One thing about it, we are delaying applying for Medicaid. We're going to apply next year because we want to negotiate rates. So we don't want to we want to go to the state and say, we'd love to provide Medicaid beds here. Can you give us a little better rate? And I think we can actually pull that off because Evan's tried before and got good response. Just couldn't find it a way to make it work with their current budget. So, yeah.
Great. Does anyone have any questions or comments on this? It's pretty straightforward. So we just need to vote to approve this, approve submitting the license.
Correct. You don't need to approve everything that's in it. Just approve the district actually filing this licensure change. Okay. But you don't have to go through and approve every little document and stuff. We're just looking for you to approve submitting the license application.
Okay. So I'll move to approve submitting the licensing documentation for the transfer of ownership for the Village at the Harbor.
I'll second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Okay.
Thank you for all your hard work, Steve.
Yes, Steve, thank you.
That thing better pass, right? After all this work.
It would be a waste of a lot of work. But
a lot of paper.
Yeah.
Okay. So all in, if there's nothing further, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.